Cool.
Mr. Hollis.
Yeah.
Santosh Narat, consultant Hemetop.
Hi there.
Right, okay, so we've got to do Dear Written to Us because you have noted to be having low B2 level and you were diagnosed with pernicious anemia.
Yep.
And you had hydroxycobalamin conditions.
Yes.
And you had a few injections which you yourself.
Yes.
And you've got peripheral neuropathy, which has not got any better.
Yep.
So you've also been investigated by a gastroenterologist. You've got a neuroendocrine tumor, and you've been referred to Royal County Royal Sussex Hospital in Guildford for neuroendocrine department.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Your B12 is yes, positive. Yeah. Right. How many injections have you had?
Since I saw the doc, this is what I've been doing. I was doing about every 7 to 10 days injections. These are when I've had an injection.
And yeah. Sorry.
Have you got Sandra's notes? Can you just call and
have it downstairs? Okay. 1 second,
sir. Yeah, no problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, so today, Monday.
Yeah, well, twice weekly. Don't worry about now for today, because we can. Did you have one before?
No, this is first. So, pause it in the wheel there. I'm going to set 100 mils from the place. Normal saline twice a week. It's two now.
Okay, so the doctor asked me, we were negotiating how often I should have the B12, and we settled on a compromise for 14 days. So I went 14 days without injection and I started feeling really quite rough. And then I think it was 10 days, 11 days. The red line is how tired I'm feeling.
So you have been having injections since October?
since July.
Right, and you might have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, I was trying the patches to see if they made any difference.
So these are the injections?
These are the injections.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So yeah, I switched to once a week and I felt really quite good. But then we decided that I would go without anything until today so that I was at my maximum worthness. I've put the fatigue because that's the one that varies the most. But things I've got, my numbness in my feet has definitely got worse over the last 2 weeks. It was improving somewhat. My fingers, when it's the cold weather, possibly, they go white, numb, and the fingerprints wrinkle.
Yeah.
Tinnitus has got worse.
Yeah.
I'll have to write all this down.
Yeah.
Because I get brain fog, forget the names of things. Balance problems.
So your B12 injection started when, precisely? You say it's 24th of October, yeah?
That's when I started plotting.
So you've been started in July?
I had my loading doses the beginning of July. I had my last one on July the 20th. And
so you were taking twice weekly injections?
No. Every 7 to 10 days. When I started feeling bad, I would give myself an injection.
What made you think that you should do 7 to 10 days of
injection? Because I had my loading doses and then I was supposed to be going for every 2 months. And after something like 3 weeks, I felt terrible. I couldn't get an appointment with the doctor. And I, on my last 3 loading doses. I'd mentioned to the nurse that I was thinking about self-injecting for my 2 monthly jabs. So she showed me how to prep it, and then got me to inject myself there.
Right.
So I had my technique checked out by the pros, and then I bought the hydroxycobalamin from Amazon in Germany, where you don't need a prescription.
Why do you think it's all due to B12?
Sorry?
Why do you think all your symptoms are necessarily due to B12? Then?
Because they go away when I have an injection. Apart from, well, the fatigue goes away, the tinnitus gets less worse, the peripheral neuropathy seems to move from my calves down towards my feet. And all the symptoms I have are symptoms of B12 deficiency. Are they not?
No.
No. So what do you think is causing?
You cannot have B12 deficiency if you have been injecting since July with the loading dose.
There are records of several people who have.
I know the literature. You're not the first person sitting in front of me about all these things. This is not a picture of neuropathy related to B12. Your symptom relief with B12 again is well described. But the problem is that also placebo can cause the same benefit.
Here we go.
The problem is, what I'm trying to say, the hydroxycobalamin is a B12. I've done some special tests to see whether you've got tissue depletion anyway to check. Whether you've got some sort of a...
What tests have been done?
Well, I've just checked the serum MMA for a start.
Yeah.
See what the serum MMA levels are higher now, and homocysteine levels. And if they are appropriate, then you are not having any tissue depletion. I doubt it.
Right.
Look, I've been doing this job for the last 15 years.
Yep.
And I've come across numerous situations like this. And I know the literature you read about can also give some conflicting information. But if you have had hydroxycobalamin this intensely, and hydroxycobalamin is a vitamin which stays in the body for a good 9 months, one injection. Although it's exceptional, although it's a water-soluble vitamin, unlike other water-soluble vitamin, it doesn't get out of the body.
I thought it went into the liver and then the liver pumped it into the ileum, where it gets recycled.
It doesn't disappear, it gets stored in the liver for at least 9 to 10 months, every injection. So it's got a half-life, every injection's got a half-life of 9 months. I know it could be given every 3 months, ideally it's given 3 months, it could be given up to 2 months license. I'm surprised they allowed you to do it. Because that's not a license indication.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do, let's go in a slightly different way. You may have maybe having pernicious anemia, because your B2 levels were very low.
Very low B12 levels. I've got autoimmune, I've got gastric atrophy, I've got anti-parietal cell antibodies.
The parietal cell antibody is pointless test.
Why?
As we get older, all of us will have a parietal antibody. What you should have had an anti-intrinsic factor antibody.
Yeah, but that's only positive in 50% of people.
Exactly, but gastric parietal cell antibody would be positive in 80% of normal people as well.
Is it?
Yeah. As we get older, it gets even more positive.
Really?
Yeah. So parietal cell antibody is a pointless test. But if you have an intrinsic factor antibody, it's specific. But as you correctly said, there's poor sensitivity. So it's only possibly only about 30 to 40% of patients. But the fact that you have a B12 level of 84, I buy it.
Yeah.
I don't want any levels. Prednisone antibody can simply go up as we get older. Can be interfered with diabetes, kidney problems, and numerous conditions will be false positive. So it's a test I don't advise GPs to test.
No, and the BCFH don't.
The only test, if you say, because I think I've seen your report, it's less than 84, I buy it, it's pernicious, it can't be anything else, okay? So, but the intrinsic factor antibody is nice to know.
Yes.
But I buy this pernicious, I mean, it's life in me. But what I'm saying, this is not a picture of peripheral neuropathy or subacute combined
disease. Right.
You have to look sideways.
Okay.
Now, so how long are you diabetic?
Sorry?
How long are you known to be diabetic?
I'm not.
You're not diabetic, according to GP, you are. No. Type 2 diabetes, according to your GP?
No. Oh, where do you get that from?
That's quite right. That's from your GP, that's all. So you're not?
No, I don't know. Well, not that I know of.
So apart from these B12 injections, you're not taking any other medication?
I'm taking gabapentin, 3 times 300 mg, for the peripheral neuropathy pain.
Yeah. Anything else?
Until a while ago, I had been taking iron sulfate, because back in February I was iron deficient, B-complex, just 100% RDA, and vitamin D, 5,000. And also 400 micrograms methylfolate daily up until the beginning of this year.
Okay. Now, what is the state of play with the neuroendocrine tumour?
The last meeting I had with Dr. Thompson, we decided that we were going to, he was possibly going to refer me to Guildford, but he thought the best thing to do is to sit there and watch it, because there aren't, I've had various tests, including the PET MRI with 68-gallon Dota Tate, and they've all come back negative. Okay. The only indication of the NETs is the histology.
Right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to refer you to neurologists for a start.
Right.
To be investigated for peripheral neuropathy, period. Just like any other investigation for peripheral neuropathy.
Okay, and the subacute degeneration?
No, let them investigate you for no clinical studies at all. I don't buy that this can be the reason for it. B12 lack, you've been given industrial dose of B12 by now. I'll check the serum MMA level and homocysteine, see whether there is anything to suggest there is tissue depletion. I doubt it. If there is, then it'll be interesting to see. Then it'll be very difficult to treat you, because we are treating you for a monthly basis. Then you'll have to change hydroxycobalamin to cyanocobalamin. But I think you should be investigated like a peripheral neuropathy of unknown cause.
Okay. Because it's the subacute degeneration of the cord that I think is most worrying.
I'm not convinced, that's what I'm saying. But let them investigate you and see where is the what is objectively evidence based on no connection studies.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, fatigue. Now, we often look, you're not alone in this, I usually get females coming with this similar picture.
Okay? Yeah.
It's usually females in their between 50s and 60s who usually come with this history of the needing B12 injections. It's very common, people, although these injections are repeated for 3 months, it's not uncommon for people saying that by the time they get into the second or third month, they really want it earlier, which I can buy.
Yeah.
And then we say, okay, you can have it every month. Because hydroxycobalamin licenses every 2 months. If you want to have more frequently, you have to switch over to hydroxycyanocobalamin, which can be given in the United States, you get hydroxycobalamin. It's not available. You give cyanocobalamin every month. But not weekly. Not come across that one. Now, so I think you should be appropriately investigated as if you've got a peripheral neuropathy. What is your peripheral neuropathy symptoms, by the way?
Okay. I've got tingling and numbness in fingers, and it started in my toes and then worked its way up, so it's now halfway up my calves.
Sounds more like it, isn't it? Yeah.
And what sounds like Raynaud's syndrome.
Yeah.
For my fingers.
You seem to describe very beautifully that one.
I saw this morning scraping the ice off the car was really cut, and you can see they're still wrinkled.
Yeah.
From the cold now. And then the main problem with the central. What I think is the problem with the central nervous system is my sense of balance has just gone completely.
Well, if you've got peripheral neuropathy, your sense of balance will go anyway.
Will it?
Yeah. That's one of the things. We find it difficult to walk in the night, or when you close your eyes when you're washing, you fall back. Because you need the, what you call by proprioception, feedback to your brain constantly from the joints. And your nerves are damaged, that proprioception is completely lost. As a result, you have no sense of balance sometimes, particularly when there is no light factor.
Yeah.
The light corrects it all the time.
Eyes closed, especially if I tilt my head back.
Yeah.
From
so
washing,
when you're washing.
Washing what's left of my hair in the shower. I do that.
It sounds very much like neuropathy to me, and that's what it tells you. That's not necessarily a dorsal column problem. It can be severe peripheral neuropathy, can also cause that problem. It looks like you've got a good going peripheral neuropathy.
Even sitting down.
Yeah, that depends upon. Sitting down is morally central. You don't. Sitting down, if you're feeling lack of proprioception, that could be slightly more dorsal column
right.
problem. Let's investigate this further. I'm going to refer you to the neurologist before I'm going to do anything.
Right.
The other thing is there is a thing called paraneoplastic manifestation. Neuroendocrine tumours can cause all kinds of things. Sometimes.
Yeah, but these are small. They're not actually secreting anything detectable in my blood. There's no gastric hormones.
Neuroendocrine tumours by nature.
5-hydroxyindolamine was normal.
That's only the one we know. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There's a thing called paraneoplastic syndrome, where you can get that with the neuroendocrine tumour.
Well, was that paraneoplastic?
Yeah. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that we need to actually investigate you as if you would investigate a person with peripheral neuropathy. I think, let's forget about the B12 for the time being. Let's focus on how you investigate the B12 deficiency first. Neuropathy first.
I'm going to carry on self-injecting.
You stay on whatever you do. I don't have a problem with that. But I would say that's not a licensed indication as long as
It's been 16 days.
Yeah.
Since I had my last one, and I feel rubbish.
Just a second. Hello? Speaking? Oh, sorry, I'm in the clinic, Tony. I'm so sorry. Yeah, call me in the evening. Call me in the evening. Okay. Cheers, bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. You stay on whatever you do, but medically I can't advise you on that.
No.
But that of course is your perception, and you are, you know, you're procuring it from a completely independent source anyway, so you've got full freedom to it, but it's against our considered advice. But let me refer you to neurologist first.
Yes.
Letter 2, Dr. Duke Neary, Mr. Frank Hollis, date about 27-1957, hospital number C2209393. Thank you very much for referring this 58-year-old gentleman who most likely has pernicious anemia in Bax B12 level, markedly low, close bracket, and was commenced on hydroxycobalamin injections in July this year, full stop. He has had loading dose. He has had symptoms highly suggestive of peripheral neuropathy and fatigue, and was given loading dose of hydroxycobalamin in July. Stop. Since then, he has been receiving injections. Has been injecting himself once every 5 to 10 days in Bacchus's, and getting independent supply of hydroxycobalamin through Amazon. Exclamation goes back full stop. However, his symptoms seem to be progressing over the past few weeks, particularly the fatigue and symptoms suggestive of neuropathy. Symptoms of peripheral neuropathy, so that he thinks that the frequencies of injections should be once every week. Stuff. He describes pins and needle sensation involving both toes and feet, and the sensations are impaired almost after cut and stuff. In addition, he also has what sounds like a Raynaud's phenomenon, especially when exposed to cold stuff. As Paragraph has mentioned in your letter, he has background history of a non-secretory, in brackets question, close bracket, neuroendocrine tumour, and he is now being referred to Guildford for further investigations and stuff. Although you mentioned in the letter that he's type 2 diabetic, Mr. Hollis has no recollection of the diagnosis being made, and therefore I do not know the duration of the diagnosis stuff. His current medications are B12 injections every week, Coumadin, gabapentin, iron sulfate, B-complex, vitamin D, and methyl folic acid, full stop. In the first instance, I've checked his serum MMA and serum homocysteine level to check if there are to test if he has any evidence of tissue depletion, which I doubt. Stop. I have informed Mr. Hollis that hydroxycobalamin has got significant half-life in a human body, and therefore injections once every week is not a licensed indication for stuff. I'm not entirely convinced that his current symptoms are necessarily related to the B12 deficiency, and I think he ought to be investigated for peripheral neuropathy stuff. I'm therefore referring him to the neurology team for further testing for stuff. I'm therefore seeking an opinion from the neurologist staff. I've not arranged a formal appointment, but I'm therefore seeking an opinion from the neurologist now. In the meantime, Mr. Hollis plans to continue weekly injections of B12 injections. B12 stuff. I've not made a follow-up clinic appointment, but I shall await the neurologist's opinion with interest. Yours sincerely, copy to Mr. Frank Hollis. Next letter to the neurology team. Dear team, read Mr. Frank Hollis, date of birth 27-1957, hospital number C220-9393. I would be most grateful for your opinion regarding this 58-year-old gentleman who probably has pernicious anemia stuff. He was found to have markedly low B12 level, in brackets under 100, close bracket, and was commenced on loading dose of hydroxycobalamin in July stuff. At the time of presentation, he had symptoms highly suggestive of peripheral neuropathy affecting his hands and feet, associated with intense fatigue stuff. He seems to have benefited marginally from those injections, particularly the fatigue, but symptoms seems to have relapsed as soon as he the injections were spaced out stuff. He decided to administer his own hydroxycobalamin every 5 to 10 days, and more recently has been noticing worsening of peripheral neuropathy and fatigue, and needing to inject B12 every week stuff. He has background history of non-endocrine tumor and possible type 2 diabetes full stuff. In fact, he's not on any oral hypoglycemic agents, close bracket, full stop. Next paragraph. I have checked serum MMA and homocysteine level to see if there are any tissue depletion of B12. Clinically, I don't think his current symptoms are related to B12 deficiency. The only situations I can think is that you have developed an antibody against your B12.
Ah, no. I have heard someone mention that before, but I've not been able to find anything in
this
the literature.
This, again, not very well reported. Stop. I'm not... Unless he has developed a specific antibody against the B12, hydroxycobalamin, I don't think his current symptoms can be explained by previously noted B12. A B12 deficiency. Full stop. I would be grateful for your input. Stop. Your sincerely copy to Mr. Dewitney. Dr. Dewitney.
The other possibility I've thought of is that there's a problem with the transporter protein.
You should have been diagnosed with when you were very young. If you've got a transcobalamin 2 deficiency,
Yeah,
or 1 deficiency, that's usually a diagnosis of infantile
level, you know, in early childhood.
Surely not if you're just heterozygous for...
But for your heterozygote, even then, heterozygote is compatible to normal living. It's usually homozygote deficiency cause symptoms, and usually manifest in the very early on.
But heterozygous mutations will cause a deficiency in the TC2, would it not? So that if B12 levels do drop, then you're going to come up with problems with it getting into the cell.
But to manifest this at this age will be interesting.
Right, and the information from the Pernicious Anemia Society lists
all my symptoms. I do presentations about Pernicious Anemia. Know all about
it. Did you give a presentation to Dr. Gidney some time ago and the people at Stenning Health Centre?
I might have done, yeah.
You mentioned that, right.
So, I've done presentations, so I know what I'm talking about.
Right, yes.
Anyway, but I'm not ruling it, but from the investigations I know, from my past medical experience, I doubt it. Although it is something very, very interesting. That's why I'm
saying. Right. It is. It's going to be something unusual that's causing this.
Well, the MMA would show it, because if you've got a TC2 deficiency, then the MMA was going to be sky high.
Yeah, because the last time I had that tested, it was just a couple of days after I'd had the jab.
Yeah, well, that's going to be the problem.
Well, that's why I've waited 16 days.
So what was the last time you had the jab? 16 days ago? Okay, let's do that.
Whatever that was. Day before New Year's Eve, I think.
Alright, okay. I'm going to have an appointment, but what I will do, I'll wait for the neurologist investigations to come through.
Yeah.
And the only other thing is, sometimes, that's alright. Anyway, I'll check the anti-influence infections.
Right, you'll send me copies of the results for the MMA and homocysteine when I get through. Excellent.
Okay.
Right. Thank you very much.
Ready. Okay.
For the home system. Yeah, I know that's a complicated one.
So
that's why we're trying to run away.
No, this is the one I've been lumping. This is one where the assay has to be done within 2 hours of taking the blood, does it not?
Two squared, they will do the test, okay?
Okay, okay.
Too bad, actually.
It looked
Yes, where did I put it? It's got no barcode on it, hasn't it? I'm sure it's not there, and the barcode is still there, which makes me wonder if you did it. And I've got bleeding now, so if only you didn't do it.
Take it just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember. Yeah. And I asked you about that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I did see that, I can't remember though,
okay.
But it would be here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have taken it anywhere.
No, you'd have left it in there.
Yeah. Of course. Good job. You've got bleeding again.
Hey.
So I'm mumbling to myself. Oh, come on. Don't be engaged all the time.
It's not the worst part of it. Be back.
Is it?
Mind you, I'm saying that on the x-ray, it's not.
Oh. That's just wear and tear then.
Yeah, that's wear and tear.
Right, take your care, Tommy.
Sorry?
Date of birth.
Oh, the 8th of the 8th, 1940. I'm getting old now. I won't look at them like the sight of that. Especially when it's mine.
Yeah,
well,
that's what happens when you have children.
Well, I've still got some left in me.
Ooh.
Right, thanks.
All right, be careful down there. Let's just wash the floor.
Darren! Wow!
I will fall away.
Thanks.
Has he been up here yet?
Yeah, he's been and gone.
What did he say, mate?
Very loud. He said, a positive attitude, though.
thinking about alcohol at all.
Francis Taylor, Press Association, who admit that you sinned last night, but you're going to start. You're going to be good, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to do my very, very best. And I think the thing is, it's very difficult when... very, that's one problem, but when you're a journalist and you go to a lot of these events, the wine is just there to be drunk and there's a lot of it. So it is quite difficult to say no when it's free, but obviously if you go to a pub, especially in London, when a pint costs £5, it's not very hard to say no.
I mean, I'm speaking about the past, but I think I can safely say, having done sort of 40 years in, 50 years in journalism, the whole business used to float on a kind of sea of alcohol. I don't know if it's still true, but it was kind of part and parcel of everyday life. You know, you went to the pub, you had a drink, or, you know, that's what happened every day.
Exactly, and I think it's maybe quite not so bad these days, but there is still very much the culture of go to the pub after work all of the time. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I think I've got a caller called Phil on the line. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Peter.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. Yeah.
Are you being good and not drinking too much at the moment?
Actually made the decision with my partner on New Year's Eve, and it's 2 weeks in, and we've not touched a drop of alcohol, which is highly unusual. Probably.
Yeah, so you are a lad who likes to drink, or does like to drink. So what are the physical reactions to all this?
Well, I'm trying to keep fit anyway, but within those 2 weeks, I've lost 5 pounds.
Really?
So wow. Like a couple of kilos.
Yeah.
Which is good. Feeling a lot sharper, to be honest, but performing much better in a number of areas, right. Which is good.
Yeah, and what about sleep?
Sleeping better as well, yeah, definitely. All round, very good, and obviously I think one of your other callers just mentioned, I am about 120, 130 pounds better off after 2 weeks.
Yeah, so what are you
going
to do? You're going to just give it up then? I mean, you know, it's a win-win, isn't it?
No, I think probably at the end of the month we go and celebrate and have a drink.
Yeah, but you take, I don't know, it's funny this, curious enough, I shouldn't really talk out of home like this, but my daughter, skin looks better, and she feels better, and she sounds better, and she sleeps better, and therefore she's more positive about the rest of her life, and everything, you know, it does make you... I think, Phil, in the end, maybe we should just stop.
I mean, are you tempted? At the end of the road, turn left. I was going to say, we talked about it last night. I do feel a lot better. So I don't think I'll stop, just from the social element side of it. But I think I'll be taking it easier. I think it has allowed me that couple of weeks to...
You dive out in front of the ambulance.
How much time and money were we wasting? And it was just habit at the end of the day. You get in at the end of the day, like all of us.
Ain't that just the truth? You just think, well, this is what I always do at 7 o'clock in the evening. I have a glass of wine, so I'll go and have a glass of wine. You don't really think about it anymore. Right, yeah. Thanks for that. Lovely to talk to you. Let me talk about the prospects then before we get to the news with Sharon and Mike and Francis. Sharon, what do you think? Could you give up altogether?
No, I couldn't. I would if my health depended on it, but I think there's too much focus on January.
Yeah.
Surely it's got to be a sustainable low-alcohol intake. And there's not much encouragement once you get past that January. Oh, it's January, I'm all right for the year. It happens every year now, I don't really see how the government can put out this guidance
right on the roundabout, second exit, stay in the right lane, in our environments.
I think as a country now, it is something that is out of control, and that it's seen as completely normal. So I just think it needs to be pushed further than that. It's all right giving you guidelines, but is there that support and not having alcohol absolutely everywhere?
Right.
I just think it needs to be a look at the bigger picture, really.
Right, thank you for that, Sharon. Last thought from you, Mike, for the moment.
Yeah, I could give up, but I don't want to, because it's the street, and it's interesting, people talk about sit down at 7 o'clock at night, and I think it's the same for people saying that when you take a glass of wine and you sit down at 7 o'clock at night, it's like, this is me switching off now, this is me having my time and chilling out, and I get concerned about the way we're all made to feel guilty about drinking alcohol, when in fact it's a treat, and if it's in moderation, okay. It's great.
Thank you very much. Francis, looking forward to this test?
I'm very much looking forward to it. I think my liver is looking forward to it,
yeah.
And more so than me, and just not feeling groggy today, like I do this morning.
Next time we meet, I'll say, wow, you're looking good. I'll say, yes, I haven't drunk for a week.
We'll hope.
We'll see. We'll see how it works out. That's Francis and Mike and Sharon. I'd like to hear from all three later on how they get on with their experiment. We'll hear more from them, and I hope to hear from you about your drinking habits. In the next hour,
Well, we're here a bit about Tim Peake, who is, I said about to come into his suit. I've seen some pictures of the film, which seem to indicate he's already in that suit, and quite soon he'll be setting out to walk in space. We've got experts following the preparations, and we'll cross the line to the Astronaut Center in Cologne, where the space agency is monitoring the mission today. And are you planning a shorter trip? We'll fill you in on where the holiday bargains can be found this summer.
First for breaking news and the best live sport. This is BBC Five Live.
12 o'clock on Five Live. This is Peter Allen. This is Five Live Daily.
The top news on Five Live this hour. Criminal proceedings against Lord Janna are dropped.
In sport, the latest from day two of the third test between England and South Africa.
This is BBC Five Live.
Let's catch up with the news with Mike Young.
Criminal proceedings against the former Labour peer Lord Janna have been ended because of his death last month. He faced 22 charges of child sexual abuse, allegations his family had always denied. Our correspondent
after 400 yards,
some of
turn
the
right.
Victims are now proceeding with, intending to proceed with a civil case, and also that the inquiry headed by Lowell Goddard is considering, will be looking into this case as well. The President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, says he's sure
turn right
on renegotiating Britain's relationship with the EU can be reached next month. Mr. Juncker told journalists he was hopeful that a permanent solution rather than a compromise could be found, but he says it won't be easy.
Issues put on the table by the British PM are all difficult issues. Don't think that there is one issue which would be particularly difficult, although it is, and that's the welfare system issue. Even our closer union, the role of national parliaments, all these are very, very difficult.
The Competition and Markets Authority has approved BT's takeover of Britain's largest mobile phone company, EE. The £12.5 billion deal will bring millions of new customers to BT, which already controls a third of the UK's landline market. The head of the energy regulator has accused power companies of overcharging customers. The chief executive of Ofgem, Dermot Nolan, says wholesale costs paid by suppliers have fallen by nearly a third over the past 18 months, and consumer charges should have been cut by more than they have been. Lawrence Slade is from Energy UK, which represents the industry.
I would say in the past we could have done more, but I think now we're in a world where
after
we're
300
in a competitive
yards,
market with
across the roundabout,
I think there is that competitive pressure coming to bear, and I think we'll see more and more actions as, you know, companies really do compete for customers.
The trial of a cannabis-based painkiller in France has left one person brain dead and up to five people in hospital.
Across the roundabout, second exit, Stoneting Road.
Happening at the government-approved private laboratory, which is near Rennes in northwest France. The National Association of Head Teachers has strongly criticised the school planning system in England, saying it's fragmented and confusing for parents. Today is the deadline for primary school applications, and thousands are expected to miss out on their first choice of school. Hundreds of families aren't allowing their deceased relatives' organs to be donated, even if they were on the official register, according to new research. NHS Blood and Transplant wants to change its approach by no longer formally seeking family consent. Leanne Carvel received an organ transplant in December of last year.
I received a kidney and a pancreas. It's been life-changing. I've had 22 years of diabetes.
After 300 yards, turn right.
Doing that at home, having to do that three times a week just to keep me alive, really. And been on the waiting list for over a year.
As Peter was saying, Tim Peake will soon begin his historic spacewalk. He'll be the first official British astronaut to walk in space when he leaves the International Space Station to help repair a broken power unit. 3 minutes past midday the time, and Bella has the sport.
Thanks very much. Day two of the third test between England and South Africa. Earlier, England bowled out the host of 313. Play underway after lunch. There's been another wicket. Henry Moran is watching.
Nick Compton out for 26, caught in the slips by Dean Elgar to give Gigiso Rabada a second wicket. Since lunch, Compton and Joe Root had looked controlled, composed and far less troubled than they had before the interval, but their stand that was worth 52 runs is over. James Taylor comes to the crease to join Root, who's on 18. England, in response to South Africa's 313, are all, not all out, what am I talking about? A 74 yards. For three, thank goodness.
Thank you very much. Before by ball commentary, head to Five Live for Sports Extra. Arsenal boss Arsene Wenger says it'll be a gamble to bring Alexis Sanchez back from injury to face Stoke this weekend, but new signing Mohamed Elneny could feature. Aston Villa don't fear the consequences of relegation from the Premier League, according to new chairman Steve Hollis. They're bottom of the table, 8 points from safety, 17 games left. And Andy Murray will face 18-year-old Alexander Zverev from Germany in the first round of the Australian Open. Aliash Bednay faces the USA's Steve Johnson, while in the women's draw, Johanna Konta's up against Venus Williams.
This is BBC Five Live on digital, online, smartphone and tablet.
Good afternoon. Lots of lovely blue sky sunshine out there at the moment across the United Kingdom. And it's going to stay that way for many of us, actually. But it's going to be pretty cold. Temperatures roughly around about 3 to 6 degrees Celsius at the best today. But we've got some wintry showers, some snow affecting northern and eastern Scotland. Those are going to just gradually move their way a bit further southward as we go through the afternoon across Scotland. And certainly for southwest Scotland, in northwest England, there'll be a bit of rain, sleet and snow. The same also goes for Northern Ireland. Now, temperatures in Scotland and Northern Ireland this afternoon, about 3 to 5 degrees. For England and Wales, well, that's rain, sleet and snow I mentioned into northwest England will slowly seep southward. So, could give a covering of snow, actually, mainly of the higher ground of the Pennines, but even the lower levels around Lancashire, towards Greater Manchester, in towards the Midlands as well, but it'll be pretty much wet snow, really. It shouurldn't cause any problems. A few more wintry flurries come across the... Thank you.